Hello, and welcome to My Little Corner of the Internet, the podcast where I talk about mental health and my journey towards mental wellness and how geek culture has played a part in that. Today, I'm going to be discussing six characters, three that I have played and three that I have watched be played. That was a weird English sentence. I'm also going to say at the top of this episode, there will be spoilers. There will be spoilers for both Critical Role and Shield of Tomorrow. I'm going to try to keep them to the absolute bare minimum, but there will be spoilers. You have been warned. So, having given that warning, I want to talk about characters who have aided me in my journey towards mental wellness. Again, three that I have created and played, and three that I have watched being played. One of the reasons why I kind of fell in love with the whole idea of RPGs and why I really kind of jumped into it when I did... was because of this idea of being able to develop a character and see how they develop, and, you know, to see how they interact with people and how they grow over the course of a campaign. And in a lot of ways, because I tend to play characters that are very similar to me, at least in one or two aspects, it allows me to see maybe what I think of as my flaws or what I think of as things that are negative about myself. It allows me to portray those aspects of my personality, but in a way that I can see the entire person. Because, you know, looking at myself, it's very difficult to see myself as an entire person. I tend to, I think, as a lot of people do who struggle with depression and ADHD, I tend to diminish the positives when I look at myself and magnify the negatives, which is not a healthy perspective to have, to say the least. And I have found a lot of, benefit through playing RPGs, in that area. It allows me to see a well-balanced person, and in a lot of ways, the characters that I have played, like, it gives me an ability to say, oh, this individual struggles with this thing that I also struggle with, and hey, people like her, so why do I have such a hard time believing people like me? So that's kind of what I want to delve into. But there's also just in watching Critical Role and in watching Shield of Tomorrow, there's characters that I can relate to, and that have actually had a really big impact on me as the person. So I'm just going to kind of go through and just kind of talk about how these various characters have helped me have a better self-perspective and also just have a more accurate understanding of seeing myself as an entire person. So, the first D&D character that I ever played, her name was Tanara. She was an elf, a high elf, but had had been born with a genetic defect that stunted her growth. And so was more along the lines of a halfling, looked like a halfling, you know, it was kind of the same build and same size as a halfling, but was actually full-blood elf. And I guess if there's one word to describe Tanara, I also have used to describe myself, and I've also have heard being used to describe myself, is impulsive. There was a lot of impulsive decisions that she made that impacted not just her, but once she started traveling with an adventuring party, it impacted the others around her. And sometimes it worked out really well, and sometimes it did not work out at all. And I guess what that taught me was kind of realizing, and this sounds like a negative thing, but I see it as very much positive. It helped me realize that my impulsive decisions affect other people. And it has helped me kind of, or encouraged me to work harder to rein in my impulses, I guess would be how I would want to say it. I guess that's what Tanara taught me. The first, another person's character that I want to share is Keyleth from Critical Role from Campaign 1. I don't know exactly how to express how much of an impact Keyleth's story arc had on me. But the whole just kind of overarching growth that Keyleth went through really just kind of spoke to me, you know, starting very uncertain, very kind of awkward, not sure how to do this whole Aramente thing, you know, and then kind of seeing her then blossom into who she was born to be, you know, that role that she was born to fulfill amongst the Ashari. It was quite a long and difficult journey from point A to point B for her. And it was, I don't know how to say this, but just seeing that journey kind of from start to finish in someone, obviously, yes, a fictional character, but seeing that it is possible to kind of get settled into the life that you want to have has been really encouraging for me, because I have sometimes felt like I'm not where I wanted to be by this point in my life, or, you know, by this age, I always thought I would be XYZ. But I'm still getting to that point, whatever that end point is. I don't actually know at this point, but the other thing that really has had a huge impact on me and still continues to have a big impact on me is when there was a guest on Critical Role who played a character who kind of, I guess, sort of mentored Keyleth, and then they went their separate ways, but he wrote her a letter, and he said Gosh, I wish I could remember the beginning of it. I don't remember the beginning of it, but he said, "You have passed through fire and have come out stronger for it." And again, when I discovered Critical Role, I was in a pretty rough slump with my depression. And so again, just that simple sentence, "She has passed through fire and has come out stronger for it." It just made a really big impact on me. And still continues to encourage me. And just kind of seeing how, gosh, there's so much, just everything about Keyleth has had an impact on me. I guess just one other thing about her. How she kind of didn't let what happened with Vax'ildan and the Raven Queen come between her relationship with Vax'ildan. Like, she's just kind of lived in the moment with him and kind of took every opportunity to just cherish that time that they had together. And that I try to live in that mindset of, I'm just going to enjoy every moment of my life. It's hard. I definitely struggle with getting impatient. Well, what's the next thing in my life going to be? What's the next thing in my life going to be? And so I just try and remember, let's not worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's focus on, you know, what's going on in my life right now, and how can I change it for the better right now, instead of ignoring my life right now in anticipation of what's going to happen. So there's that one. The next character that I created and have been playing is Mariana. She is a gnome, and I decided to go with, so she's a bard, but I decided specifically to go with Matt Mercer's homebrew Bardic College of the Maestro, because when I first heard this description, I was just like, oh my goodness, yes, that is me if I were put into a D&D environment. It's focused on taking the sounds from around you and kind of focusing those sounds to inspire your party members during battle, or to increase the hit points that are healed from a healing potion, because you're, you know, taking the peaceful sounds and kind of amplifying them, or the ability to take the sounds of battle and cause psychic damage to your enemies. But it's all about hearing music in everything, and not just in actual music. And that is so me. And the other element of this Bardic College is, you can, like, I can't remember exactly how it's worded, but Mariana loves trees and always has, and just loves being in the forests. However, she is a rock gnome, so her people live in caves. And so she really struggled with kind of that aspect of kind of having that struggle with fitting in with your family. And kind of like doing something so outside the box, you know, making music by, you know, by your environment. Like, that's just something that was so unheard of to to her family. You know, they were all bards, but they were all more traditional College of Lore bards, you know, storytelling through epic poems and songs. And, you know, along came Mariana, who was like, I love the trees and I want to make music in nature. And she's kind of always known that she was different from other rock gnomes and even different from other bards. Which put an interesting, not stress, that's not the right word, but it put an interesting tension in her life, even from a young age. And this particular character I created by saying, okay, me, but putting it into a rock gnome in D&D. So obviously I relate a lot to Mariana. She's very shy around people she's just meeting. But there are certain people that she just kind of gravitates towards. And forms very intense connections very quickly with certain people. But with everyone else, she's kind of doesn't really say much. You know, just kind of go along to get along kind of a person. But that's slowly changing. And again, it's exciting to see throughout the campaign how she's starting to open up more to the people in her party. She's starting to use her talents more. She's starting to, you know, she's starting to feel comfortable enough with this group of people that she's traveling with that she allows herself to do what it is that she knows she was meant to do. You know, so she has no problem standing away from the battle with her baton, orchestrating the sounds that she hears to then aid her allies. And again, that's something that has been reflected in my life. I know some people like to play characters that are completely different from them. I don't know how to do that. So all of my characters are, at least to some extent, very similar to myself. But yeah, so I guess with Mariana, the biggest aid that has come through that campaign is really just learning how to be comfortable with who you are and I guess learning how to kind of learning how to embrace who you are, not just be comfortable with it, but like embrace it and be like, yes, this is me and I'm okay with it. So let's see, who do I want to talk about next? The next character I want to briefly talk about is Commander Jiv from Shield of Tomorrow. Jiv is a Tellarite engineer. For those of you who are not huge Trekkies, the Tellarites have been called frequently the Space Dwarves. and one of their racial traits is that they are notoriously crabby. And that's just kind of who they are as a race. and very crabby and very blunt and just kind of like say what's on the mind, even when it's what other races would consider incredibly rude. But by the end of the show, he was one of my favorite NPCs, if not my favorite NPC, because he, beneath the gruff exterior, turned out to be a huge teddy bear. And really had a big impact on Gina DeVivo's character, Mala Ren. And, like, I don't know, just seeing how the two of them interact, but especially seeing the transition in Jiv from just, like, I shouldn't be here, I shouldn't have been demoted, you know, I built these ships, why have I been demoted to, you know, excuse me, why have I been demoted to lieutenant commander, and, you know, kind of griping at the system. He went from that to almost having tender moments with Mala, as at least as tender as a Tellarite can get. plus, who doesn't love a curmudgeon-y old engineer who built the ship that you're sailing on, right? Like, who doesn't love that? But I'm noticing this theme of, like, growth, which I honestly didn't realize until I've been hearing myself talk about all of these characters. It's being able to see the progress that all of these characters have made, from, you know, being very closed off or very much in solitude, or, you know, so unsure of yourself that you are scared to make a move in case it's the wrong one, etc. Apparently, I guess that's what I'm trying to convey in this episode, is how much RPGs have helped me acknowledge the fact that I have actually been growing. Even though I can look at my life currently and say, well, yeah, but this isn't what I want it to be, and this isn't what I want it to be, and this isn't what I want it to be, and this isn't what I want it to be. I think it's so important for everyone, period. No matter who you are, whether you have struggled with mental illness or are struggling or know someone who's struggling or love someone who's struggling, all of us need to be able to look at our past and see how far we've come. And I know, again, that's something I really struggle with personally, because I tend to hyper-focus on the negatives and the bads and the failures and completely minimize the strengths and the positives and the successes. So I guess I just want to encourage all of you to remember that life is a journey, which is so cliche, and I hate how cliche that is, but it is so true. My grandma used to always say, be patient with me, God isn't finished with me yet. And I love that sentiment of, like, I am not a perfect human being. There is no such thing as a perfect human being. But I can always improve. But if I don't meet this success goal that I want, it's okay. You know, and I think finding that balance between striving for improvement and accepting where you are can be really hard. I think for everyone is very difficult. This has been an extraordinarily rambly episode, and I kind of just lost the direction of it. So I guess I just want to finish by just really encouraging you to find something. And for me, it was RPGs. Doesn't have to be RPGs for you. Can be whatever it is for you. But try and find some outlet that can help you develop and strengthen a good self-perspective. I just believe that in society today, self-perspective is so skewed. because of the media and, you know, celebrities saying, oh, you have to look this way or think this way or act this way. But also the part of society that says, well, if you're out of college, you should be living on your own with a successful career, you know, having gotten a college degree, and, you know, you should have everything figured out by 25. That aspect of the culture also influences our self-perspective. And, you know, I still live at home with my parents. My dad still has to help me with my budget because I am terrible with money. And I struggle with that sometimes. You know, I'm on the latter side of 25 and still live at home. And it's not where I wanted to be when I was, you know, just starting college. I didn't think at this point I would be living with my parents again. But it was because of my health. I really needed to be able to have a safe place to get healthy. But society says that's wrong, or that that means I'm a failure to some extent. And that's not true. And I get really irritated when I start to think that way because it's not true. I have a successful career and I'm developing habits that will help me get to the point where I can move out and live on my own. I did not think that was going to come up in this episode. but there you have it. I guess that's really all I wanted to say was, don't look to society for whether you are a success or a failure. But look at your own self and try to find some way that can help you do that accurately and correctly. And I'm good. That's end of episode. There is now, I have set up an email. It's littlecornerofthenet@gmail.com. I have not yet started the Twitter because my computer went insanely wonky. littlecornerofthenet@gmail.com. You can email any questions, comments, concerns, small talk, jokes, weather reports, whatever. and it can be about anything, really. It can be about mental wellness. It can be about geek culture. It can be about whatever you want, and I will strive to find an answer. Next episode, I am going to be talking about and kind of I keep losing my words. The word's totally gone. I'm going to be kind of discussing Dr. Janina Scarlett's work in superhero therapy and just kind of doing an overview. I am not a psychiatrist or psychologist or therapist or counselor. I have no formal training in any of those areas. So it's not going to be like an in-depth analysis of superhero therapy. I just want to put the idea out there for all of you who might find it helpful. I know I just found out about her about a month ago, and it has her reading her blog and kind of and watching interviews with her and all of that has really helped me. So that's what the next episode is going to be. And I will see you then.